he can cause physically. So here the hadith is so beautifully saying that first the person is very cautious and careful about his tongue. Therefore you find that the first thing that a person does when he meets somebody, he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He uses the words of peace. Yeah, peace means that immediately he's telling the person that so long as you are here in my company, you are safe. There's nothing for you to worry about. You are happy. So you don't need to worry and be concerned about anything. Islam goes out of its way to recognize the rights of people. If one person was asking me yesterday, what happens, he's a trustee in a big masjid, so he says that after the muazzin gives azan, and then he, as he's proceeding to give the iqamat, somebody else stands up and gives the iqamat, what is the ruling in a situation like that? If somebody else can just come and stand up and give iqamat, even the Shariat has made it such that it is even makruh for somebody else to give iqamat. Imagine such a great thing like iqamat. But for somebody else to give iqamat because it's the right of the Muslim, he had called out the azan, he has the right to give out the iqamat. So anybody else to give out the iqamat becomes makruh for that person. Without the permission, obviously, of the Muslim. Otherwise, if he's happy, then there's no problem. But to such an extent, Shariat is taking the rights of every person. So this comes under the chapter of Amanadari. A person is so careful that whoever is in his company is not harmed, and whoever is not in his company also, he is not harmed via this man's speech. How? Is he doesn't make ghibat of that person. He may know something about the person, some fault may have been exposed in front of him, he may have seen something, but he doesn't talk about it. So one is in the person's presence, he's careful that his speech doesn't harm that person, and one is in the person's absence, he's so careful that he doesn't say anything that will harm that person. Rather, he'll try and make excuses to cover up for that person if anybody else is speaking wrong about him. Obviously, we're in a situation where it is necessary to speak and say something that is wrong about the person in case other people may be harmed by him, then it's permissible. For example, a person is a fraudster and he's taking and he's doing so many people down. In that case now, if you speak good about a person, it won't be correct because he might take, somebody else might be done down by him because of his fraud, etc. So in that case, it's good to expose a person. But generally, we should try and cover the faults of people. Or in another situation, somebody phones us for reference, we want to employ such and such a person, or somebody is proposed for such and such a girl, please can you give us a reference. Now in a situation like that, it becomes amanat to speak what is correct. What you know, you speak, and you be honest about it. Otherwise, if you're not in a position to speak, don't speak, tell them, you know what, I'm not in a position, I don't feel correct speaking about it, and excuse yourself, but don't speak what is wrong. So in this situation, Shariat has allowed that. Because now, by you speaking good about somebody who's actually bad, or somebody who's got some evil qualities, and by you speaking good about him, somebody else will suffer. So although you think you're covering up one person, the third person is suffering. So you're not helping, you're not saving the third person from your speech and from your actions. And actions today we can see very, very well. People so easily, they get into brawls, they get into fights, they get, or via their hands, they do something to harm the next person. All this is not becoming of a true Muslim. And then the second part of this hadith, wal muhajir, that person who makes hijrat. Hijrat means to leave something to go somewhere else. Sahaba left Makkah al-Mukarramah and they went to Madinah al-Munawwarah. Hijrat for other reasons also is permissible. For example, if a person is oppressed, like we see the people, the Rohingyan people now, they're being oppressed. For them to make hijrat from their land, from Burma, and to go to Bangladesh, that is also a form of hijrat. Then you get another form of hijrat where a person is not allowed, or it's very difficult for him financially, then for him to move out and go to another place is also permissible. So what this hadith is saying, the true hijrat, obviously after the time of the hijrat of Sahaba, the true hijrat is a person, he moves from guna and he goes into that zone where he's not committing guna. So he moves away from sin, he moves away from that evil company, the bad habits he's got, he moves away from all those things and he goes into good company. He goes into good habits, he goes into good a'mal. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. This is true hijrat. You're leaving that sin, you're giving it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're going to good. Today's hadith, same rawi, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, qal, kana ala thaqlin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rajulun yuqalahu kirkira. فمات فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو في النار فذهبوا ينظرون إليه فوجده عباءة قد غلها. حضرت عبد الله بن عمر بن عاص narrates that a man by the name of Kirkira was responsible for the luggage of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He would be in charge of loading the luggage, he would be in charge of tending and taking care as far as the saman is concerned when they're moving out in safar, in battle, etc. So it so happened that this person, imagine, he was tending to the animal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then a stray arrow comes and kills him. So then the Sahaba says that they thought that this person was in, obviously, what a Mubarak, tending to the animal in that company. They thought obviously that this person will be a Jannati. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Huwa fi nar." This particular person is in the fire of Jahannam. Remember something, Rasulullah is teaching the Ummah something very important, so he had to say things as it was. So then Sahaba were astonished, such a Mubarak, to them it looked like such a Mubarak mort. فَذَهَبُوا يَنْزُرُونَ إِلَيْهِ. They went to see what perhaps happened. So when they saw that this person, he had taken had stolen an abaya, a cloak. He had stolen a cloak from the spoils of war. Now we know from the booty and the spoils of war, every person that's out in battle, they all have an equal share in it. So if it's one piece of cloth and there are 1,000 people have a share in that cloth. Until and unless that cloth is not distributed specifically to one person, everyone has a share. So Ulama explained that this Sahabi also, he also had one share in that. But despite him having one share in that, the fact that he took it unlawfully, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Huwa fi nar." Can you imagine how much more greater the sin is where a person doesn't have a share in something and then he usurps it? He takes something that he doesn't rightfully have any share in it. It is much more compounded. So this hadith is showing us how serious it is to usurp or take something that doesn't belong to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Let us be very careful of these sort of things, especially if we're working for people, we're an employee, or we are given something as amanat, car, company phone, these sort of things. Be very careful. These are not ours to use as though they are ours. We may abuse it thinking it that nobody will know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi.